Where has all the hope gone? In the past 2 weeks, for many of us, we have spiraled into a nation shaken and grabbing at anything for hope, but not finding much. Our schools are in a chaotic confusion. Our entertainment industries are shut down. The economy is flailing. People are getting sick, and no one seems to have any real answers. Many who saw a burgeoning economy and shores free from war were beginning to believe all the more in the American dream and the hope of a bright economic future for their children and continued peace and prosperity. All this has been shaken, and many ask, where has all the hope gone? The answer is right here. Here in this family, the family of God, we still have hope. But what is that hope? Today we are going to look at two reasons for hope that we have as believers. If we would turn in your Bible with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The first place that we are able to find hope in this time is we have hope because God has never given us all we deserve and never will. Here we have hope because God has never given us all we deserve and never will. After all, we would have no hope at all if God were not greatly merciful. Our lives would be empty, defeated, and buried in an avalanche of wrongs we could not make right. In Ephesians 2, 1-4, we read, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." But God. The reality is that we were God's enemies when he showed us mercy. It's one thing to show mercy to your own kid when he wrecks your car, or when he breaks your favorite plate, family heirloom, or when a friend borrows a piece of equipment and breaks it, or even to forgive a close friend or family member when they have spoken ill of you or deceived you or even made fun of you. But to forgive an enemy? We were not God's close friend. We were actively fighting against him. Some of us perhaps turning others away from him. And yet he reached out and called us a friend. Just imagine a man who owns a business that competes with your own. In order to get ahead, he has run ads about you that lie about your family, your business actions, and all the things that you have done in your life. He finds ways to steal clients from you and mocks you everywhere you go. Then one day, everything goes wrong for his company and it crashes, leaving him penniless. And so we find him homeless, jobless, reputation ruined. What would we do to our enemy at this time? We would likely celebrate our final and great victory, giving thanks that this enemy of ours is finally out of the way, saying that he reaped his just reward. And yet God looks far different than this. Just imagine if you, the owner of the company this person has been making miserable, comes and walks in to the shelter where he is now at and says, all of your debts are forgiven. All of your long-standing wrongs have been made right. No one is against you anymore. I forgive you for everything that you have done to me. I have bought you a home. I have renovated it. And I'm giving you a job for my company as one of my supervisors. And just in case you ever need me, I will always be there for you. That is mercy. We do not deserve the love of God, and yet God reaches down to us in our homelessness and brokenness and says, I forgive you, I have paid your debts, and I want to walk with you for the rest of your life. This is what God's mercy is to us. We must never forget that we did not deserve our salvation, and we do not deserve anything good that has come our way. This is what it means that God's mercies are new every morning. After all, if God gave us what we deserved, what would this world look like? There would be crimes beyond imagination, plagues and famine and heinous immorality that no one could fathom. The only reason that our world has not erupted into utter chaos and destruction is because God is great in mercy. Because God loves broken people. Where would this world be without the mercy of God? You see, if God gave all of us what we truly deserved, and only what we deserved, there would be only pain, only plague, and only hardship. All our moments of joy are because God is merciful. The wonderful families that some of us have, our spouses, our jobs, our homes, none of these are things that we earned. These are good things that God has given us and allowed us to have because he is great in mercy, full of steadfast love and compassion. Take hope in the fact that God has never given up on us, and he has never given us what we deserve and never will. Secondly, we see that not only do we have hope here because God has never given up on us and never will, here we have hope that does not die or fade, as all other hopes do, but grow stronger each day. Here we have hope that does not die or fade, as all other hopes do, but grow stronger each day. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we read, after, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. Living hope. Is there truly any such thing? Maybe for a little while, but all hopes and dreams settle into dust eventually, don't they? After all, isn't hope just wishful thinking about something we don't know will come? The hope out there that something good just might happen? But hope in Scripture is defined far differently. In our vocabulary, hope is more wishful thinking. I hope that I get a good grade on this test. I hope the government figures out this problem. I hope she gets better. But hope in the Bible is the exact opposite. Hope in Scripture is an unshakable confidence in a guaranteed reality. Hope is an unshakable confidence in a guaranteed reality. This is why hope in the Bible can never be us-centered. Our hope is in who God is and in what He has done. The writer of the book of Lamentations says to us, "The Lord is my portion, therefore I have hope. Not my job is prospering, my nation is great, or life is just the way I imagined." He says, "The Lord, the great God of the universe, is my portion, and therefore I have hope." This is why hope in the Bible is so great. Here we have hope for the present and the future, granted in the most powerful act in all of history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even more specifically, we have hope because of who Christ is. He is the unbeatable King, defeater of Satan, overcomer of death, and rescuer of our souls. Sin could not entice Him, pain could not stop Him, sorrow could not dissuade Him from His message, and the grave could not contain Him. Satan could not bind Him, and the world could not escape His love or stop His justice. This is who our hope is in. Christ's defeat of death made it so we no longer had to be ordered around by our sins, tied in bitterness, envy, doubt, worry, fear, and deceit. The resurrection gave us new life so that we can live every day bubbling over more and more with love, joy, compassion, belief, peace, contentment, satisfaction, and victory. We are free to be different than we were, because the resurrection broke the power of sin. We are alive. We no longer have to hold grudges. We no longer have to be filled with anxiety and worry. We no longer have to hold on to past shame and guilt. The resurrection has changed us. We are able to live with love and joy and peace and trust even in the darkest times, because God has been victorious. I want you to imagine being in a serious car accident where a person's vehicle is so crumpled up that the firefighters and the rescue people who have come are doing everything imaginable to try to get this person out. And they pry and pry and pull with all of their strength, and there is no way to rescue this helpless individual. There is no way for them to escape from their accident. And as time is ticking away, it appears that a life will be lost. But then comes an amazing machine called the Jaws of Life. And the firefighters take this machine called the Jaws of Life, and they cut their way through the unbreakable prison with unmatchable power, breaking away the metal and the steel that bound the person, hopelessly trapped, moving towards death, and giving them a freedom that no one else on the scene could. And all the rest of their life, they walk knowing that they survived because of the Jaws of Life. That is what our hope is. Jesus Christ was our Jaws of Life, reaching into our entrapped wreck, cutting through the metal of guilt, shame, anger, addiction, and so many other things that we could not escape on our own. We were hopelessly bound for destruction. and then reached our Savior with his arms of life pulling us out of the wreckage that we were living in. That is hope, confidence in the power of Christ. Hope in and of itself would be enough, but Peter tells us that we have a living hope. Living signifies that our hope is constant, not here one day and gone another. There are so many things that we put our hope in that are here for a moment and gone the next. Even our greatest leaders and heroes would offer us no hope now. As amazing as Winston Churchill, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Ronald Reagan, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, David, Daniel, Moses, all the great heroes of our faith and of our nation and of history that we can bring up could do nothing to deliver anyone anymore. They are dead and gone, dust and ashes. But not Jesus. Jesus is alive and resurrected today, seated on a throne of power, speaking on behalf of us every day. Our hope will never disappear, never grow weaker, only get stronger in our eyes and hearts. Great economies come and go, followed by recessions and depressions. Empires rise and fall. Friends and family members will even come and go. Besides simply just the passing from life to death, is the fact that people who we hope in so deeply will inevitably at some point disappoint us. They will say the wrong thing, bringing pain into our life, or they will make a mistake in judgment that hurts them and those around them. Our government leaders, as desperately as they try to do what is right, will inevitably do some things that are wrong, intentionally or unintentionally. And they will disappoint us. All of life, if we put our hope in it completely, will bring disappointment and leave us broken and confused. Except God. God is supreme ruler of the universe, rescuer of our broken lives, counselor who is never wrong, lover who never grows tired, planner who always does what is best, warrior who is always victorious, always right, always working, always loving, always pursuing us, always winning, but never, never changing, never failing, never confused, never ending, never abandoning, never losing, and never shaken by any event in the course of human history. God is alive. Jesus is alive, and he is sovereign and powerful and working in the midst of our circumstances, and our hope will never change and will always grow each and every day. So every day, my friends, when all hope around you seems to be slipping away more on a daily basis, instead of falling into line as one whose hopes have dissolved to dust, open your heart, fill your mind, lift your eyes, raise your hands, and shout to all the world in its desperation, hope, hope is here. I am alive. I am free. I am full. I am at rest. I am at peace because he has conquered, he has rescued, and he is here. Church, let the world know with a shout, and then whisper quietly to your souls in the night watches, hope is here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that is found in you and the fact that neither life nor death nor any other thing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And we just pray that instead of focusing on our circumstances and our situations, that we would in this time turn our eyes to the Maker of heaven and earth and find strength and confidence in who you are and what you have done and who we can be because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.